Hello and welcome to episode 219. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wagon Full of News. That's a play on Oprah and the Wagon Full of Fat.
What is that reference? I don't even know that one.
I have no idea.
Oh, there was a time that Oprah came out on stage and she had a bunch of pork fat that it, like, from a butcher in a wagon as a representation to the amount of weight she had lost.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. That's that. What I've been doing is really not a lot. I did some moto stuff, but that isn't really what this podcast is about.
Has that ever stopped us before?
Trying to keep it on bikes, and I'm trying to keep things moving forward. But I will say that if you're going to come to Colorado this summer, and you're going to come and ride the crest and blah, 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 all the Salida shit, you really should come around mid to late July. One, the crest will be open, and two, there's going to be a national event at Turkey Rock here in Howard for moto trials. And while you're like, I don't really care, if you rode your bike around for like 2 hours and watched that shit, you'd be like, that's nuts. So,
it is. Like, you can watch people on motorcycles yeet themselves from a 6 foot tall rock to like a 12 foot tall rock across a 10 foot gap.
It's not quite that, but that's the gist. But I feel like I've become a pretty good trials rider, and we've been already working on this stuff for the future, because the last thing we want to do is be scrambling to figure out what's going to happen. I'm helping set the event, which means I'm going to go out and put down tape and be like, you got to go here, you got to go here. And we've been working on it already. And some of the things that I see that we're going to set, I'm just like, there's no fucking way. There's no way. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm really excited about it. And with that, I do have some other news that I said I was going to talk about it in about 2 weeks. I've done zero more research, but I am a goal-driven person. What?
I don't know. I was reading this article, and then you said that, and it made me laugh.
So one of the things that Andrea did in the past is she did Rainbow Trail in a day. And she did this thing where she left the house, she rode Rainbow Trail back to home, and it was like, what, 80-something miles?
Well, I started the longer one. I started at Turkey Rock. I've never actually done it from the house.
Well, I mean, yes, you have. I mean, Turkey Rock is home. Like, it's close enough.
It just didn't, I didn't end the entire ride with a whatever
750-foot climb.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but Andrea, there's more Rainbow Trail now.
Well, I did the north half of it, is what you could call it.
Yeah. So, 2026, I'm going to do Rainbow Trail, single track. A couple years ago, when the Rainbow Trail was like reestablished, there had been flooding issues and whatnot back after the 2015 Hayden fire. I know it was blown out in 2020. I can't remember when it blew out. But it blew out. They fixed it. It blew out again. They had to come in with land management
and make a whole new trail, like, whole miles away from the original one.
Yeah, like, they just could not use the existing trail corridor again, because it just would not hold enough moisture to prevent flooding, and it flooded out all their hard work. So they put in more hard work so they wouldn't have to keep doing it. And after that, the CCMR, Central Colorado Mountain Riders, which is the moto group in this area, they rode the entire thing, all 100-something-odd miles, and it took them like 12 hours. And I don't really want to ride double track, so...
Oh, I've ridden that double track. Like, you should actually check it out and make sure that that's what you think.
No, hear me out. What I want to do in the summer of 26 is all the Rainbow Trail single track three ways. I'm going to moto it, I'm going to ride my bike on it, and I'm going to hike it. I'm going to do it. It's going to be hard, but it's going to give me a goal, and that goal is going to require fitness, and I need to do something other than fitness pizza in my mouth. So that is something that I'm going to do. I think the only one that will be, I don't want to say unobtainable, but the hardest one is going to be the hiking portion. I mean, it'll take multiple days, yada yada, but
I can do that part with you.
Cool.
Hopefully. Well,
yeah, and I haven't even put, like, I haven't plotted it out, but I think Andrea rode, like, 40-something miles a single track, and I think there's 60 miles a single track.
Yeah, it keeps going past where I stopped a decent way. Actually, I think you will, so between, I'll show you on a map, but between, like, one trailhead where you could get off of the trail and the next one, it does change to double track, but it's double track in the, it's made for, like, the only legal vehicles are under whatever.
It's 51 inch. Yeah, so like, ATVs are single seater side by sides.
It's literally like having two single tracks.
Yeah.
So it's not really like double track. Like, you're not riding on a road. You're riding single track, but there's like
two of them.
Like, you can choose one or the other. Like, it's still pretty fucking rough.
No, I get that. I just, there may be a 2027 where I ride all of it on the moto and all of it on the bike and whatever. But yeah, that's just, I'm putting it down. And if I don't do it, well, fuck, I don't know. Something's going to happen. I'll be really disappointed in myself and start drinking again or something. I'm not going to do that. Someone else should start talking before I make more dark jokes.
Kenny, you go.
I got nothing cool moto or bike related. Been shooting some more guns recently. Kind of went on a hiatus for a while. But there's some new cool stuff out. And I got a notice from the state of Utah. And they were like, yo, you haven't bought a gun in a while. What's up? And I was like, I'll shoot. So anyway, added some stuff to the collection. And yeah, that's really all I got going on.
All right. I didn't know Utah would send out a notice if you hadn't bought a gun in a while.
They do, yeah. Yeah, if it's been more than a year.
Isn't it?
If it's been more than a year, they'll send you a notice.
Okay, because I know that if you haven't bought a soda in 3 days, they get on to you. And then if you haven't bought a truck modification in 182 days, which is, you know, roughly half a year, they get on to you. But guns, a year's cadence. I thought it would be more aggressive than that, honestly.
No, it's just so. It's only once a year.
Hmm. Do they encourage you to buy more than one, though?
They don't mention. They just say, hey, it's been a while. Is everything okay?
Oh, okay. Cool.
All right.
Does the email subject line, is your blood still red? Are you still a red-blooded American?
Oh, man.
Wait, what's a Utahan? Are you Utahnese? What are you?
A Utahan.
Oh, God. That's a mouthful. I don't like it.
No, just Utahan. Like Utah, and then just put an N on the end of it.
I don't like it.
All right. Well, I have been doing the same stuff.
Okay.
I don't have to get into it. You guys know what that is because it's all I've talked about. I've been trapping beavers.
More beavers.
I did trap a fox.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, just
two muskrats.
Oh, yeah, I did. So I'd never seen a muskrat up close. Kenny, have you ever seen a muskrat?
Probably not like up close. I've seen like pictures of muskrats, but they're not like around here a lot. We got a lot of, I'm going to get the darn term wrong. Prairie dog. A prairie dog is the same thing as something else, right?
There's a lot of things that look a lot like a prairie dog, like a ground squirrel, a prairie dog. Like they all.
But there's like a more there's like a more scientific proper name for prairie dog, right?
I think so. I don't know.
Anyway, but we got a bunch of those like, around here.
Ground weasel? I don't know.
No, weasels are different. But yeah, so like a muskrat, like I like Kenny. I'd only seen pictures of them. I know people trap them. I've got a couple of traps that you can catch muskrats in, and I actually caught one. The other day, like 2 days ago, and I'd never seen one up close. And if you can imagine crossing a beaver with like a New York street rat, like it's around 5 pounds, but like it's got a tail that has kind of like the scaly texture, like a beaver tail. And they have teeth that look like beaver teeth, but then the rest of them looks like a football shaped rat. And they're just fucking weird. Really, really weird. And apparently people eat them. I didn't, because like you can tell, like, if something's going to be good, like any animal, this goes for domestic or wild, like if you start to like take the skin off of it and it smells like something you don't want to eat, it's going to taste like that smell. And we've done a very good job as humans of domesticating animals so that when you start to process them, they don't really have a bad smell and they taste great. But muskrats, you know, I've heard people eat them, but when I started to take the muskrat apart, it didn't smell like something that I wanted to eat. So I did not put it in the freezer. But they are like, they're like, this is going to be really dark and some people are going to get offended. They're pocket sized. So like if you tanned one and then just kind of like sewed it into the shape of a pocket, you could just stick it in the pocket of like a jacket or something and have like a hand warmer, because it's like super dense and soft fur. And so I think I've got two of them now. So I think I'm going to just make pocket liners with them, and it's going to be amazing because it's just this, like the softest fur. I think people don't realize, because I don't know, like fur is such a taboo subject, right? If you take the hair off of it and it's leather, like people don't care. But as soon as it has hair on it, like people get really...
All right, Steve.
I know, people get really like weird about it. And yeah, like it's... You don't realize how soft, because like a lot of people have gone away from wearing animal fur for various reasons. And yeah, I know, like not everyone in the world can wear animal fur, or else we wouldn't have animals left, you know, out in the wild. But like, if you get a chance to like buy a fur garment of some sort, I encourage you to just put your hands on it and feel it, because it's like what every company who makes warm stuff is trying to do with synthetic materials, just right there running around out in the wild. So like, yeah, I mean, if you're in a place where you can do that, I would encourage you to check it out, because it's pretty amazing, like how it feels like up against your skin. It's pretty wild.
By the way, I got a marmot confused with a prairie dog.
Oh yeah, marmots are different. Those are like, so a marmot, that animal in the mountains is a marmot. That animal like out anywhere else is a woodchuck.
Yeah, marmots are like chonky. No, we definitely have a ton of prairie dogs like up at Park City and stuff. I'm sure there's marmots around too, but you see the prairie dogs, they're just like running around all over the place. But for some reason I had a marmot in my head. But yeah, I think they're way chonkier.
I have a prairie dog story, and it's a little dark like all of my other stories. I was on my way to a bike race, like one of the last ones that I did. It was like a GoPro Games in Vail. I'm going on Highway 285 where the speed limit's like, I don't know, 65 or 70.
And it's the Thunderdome, so people drive like 90.
Yeah, people drive nuts. And I'm just like cooking down the highway on my way to a bike race like early in the morning. And one of those things ran out in front of me, and there's traffic behind me, so I can't like swerve or hit the brakes without just, I don't know, causing an accident. So I just had to like stay in it. I like took my foot off the accelerator, and that was about it. It stood up on its back feet in front of my vehicle, which was the Subaru at the time. And just, I hit it like probably going 60 miles an hour. I was like, oh, fuck. And it was like, whomp. Just this loud noise. I look behind me, and it's just cartwheeling down the road. And I was kind of sad, but also they like, I don't think they're considered invasive, but they are a nuisance animal. Like if they're out in like, say your horse pasture or your cow pasture, they'll dig enough holes that like an animal can stick a foot in one and just break its leg in half. So I only felt like bad for a few minutes, but then I kind of forgot about it, except that it was, I don't know, darkly humorous that it was cartwheeling down the road. That's just my sense of humor. But we can move on now from me killing things. New shit?
Sure.
You guys want to start? Do you want me to start? Or?
Let's go with the light stuff first, which is Wolftooth has new chain rings. They only come in black.
What are they for?
Shimano something. They're 0 millimeter offset chain rings with Shimano tooth profile, and they come in race face and SRAM 3-bolt and SRAM 8-bolt, so you can get the right chain line for your DI2 wireless 12-speed stuff.
All right.
But they only come in black, and black is lame. So MIPS acquires Coroid. I can't pronounce that word.
Coroid?
Yeah. So the really wavy stuff and the really slippery stuff is now together.
Are they going to make MIPS knee pads?
I hope so.
Well, in more protection news, the company D30 has entered the chamois market. So they have, they say their chamois is designed for extreme scenarios, significantly enhancing the performance experience for cyclists. So it sounds like it'll be a slightly more protective chamois. It says it's at least, they do get into like vibration dampening, but they don't really say like...
Damping.
Do they say that?
You said dampening.
Oh, sorry. Vibration damping properties. They say impact absorbing and vibration damping properties. So
I have a feeling that's going to be for impact from your saddle, not impact from like crushing your last nut against the stem.
I don't know, man. It might be something you want to look into.
I don't know.
Maybe get a little MIPS Coroid insert.
Do you remember Jofas?
No.
Do you, Kenny?
Nope.
It was an open face helmet that had a little like mouth guard on it.
I remember seeing someone wearing that.
Let's see if I can find a picture. Yeah, it's this little thing. I should get one of those and just like Velcro it to my chamois on the outside. Because I have been wearing a sports cup for motorcycle stuff. And it's really disconcerting. I don't like it. So, yeah. But that's fine. Yeah. I don't think anyone wants to hear about it, so I'm not going to get deep into the details.
Well, I mean, when you've only got one testicle left, you got to take care of it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Because you do just fine with one, but zero takes a little bit more effort to treat.
Yeah. We want to talk about the burning battery in the room.
Now let's do one more lighthearted one first.
Okay.
This one's mixed. I just didn't realize it. So Franco Fratton, I'm not really sure how you say his last name. I'm butchering it, I'm sure. But he was the, I guess, owner, but definitely like lead R&D guy at EXT. I didn't realize that he passed away because I saw news. Did we cover that on a previous episode? I just don't remember talking about mm-hmm. that. Okay, I had no idea. I think it was earlier this year, it sounds like. But it looks like Crank Brothers basically bought EXT. So that's interesting. And I don't know if Crank Brothers actually bought them or like a head person at Crank Brothers bought them. So I don't know if it's going to be under the Crank Brothers umbrella.
No. I'm reading this here. Licata, CEO for 10 and a half years, left the brand last month, has been working in the industry since 2009. So it sounds like someone from... it says ex-Crank Brothers CEO.
My bad.
So are we going to get proprietary... You're going to need like a 5.5 millimeter to remove the shock.
No, I think he was this Licata fella, I think was part of the reason Frank Carruthers' quality came up at least a little bit.
I mean, when the bar is so low, you can trip over it.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that's just interesting. I guess twofold. EXT has new ownership, and I didn't even realize that that had happened. So that stinks. Everyone seemed to have really liked that dude, just reading on him a little bit.
Hmm.
Pretty wild.
Yep.
All right. One more lighthearted thing. On Bike Rumor, there's an article that I feel like this company that's making some affordable and lightweight binoculars and other optics.
Do you feel like this is an advertorial?
I feel like this is an advertorial because they start about, he talks about apps for bird watching and how he didn't realize that bird watching could be so interesting.
So I bought these binoculars.
Yeah. Apparently there's a new app called eBird, which is like Strava for bird watching.
Jesus Christ. Just use the Cornell Labs.
Yeah, they talk about that too. But this one is like a social birding app, apparently. And if you want to get into that, you could get these binoculars. And they're lightweight. They're rubberized, which is kind of nice. I can say someone who uses binoculars, like having a little extra grip, not necessarily a bad thing. Especially if it's cold, like binoculars can actually make your hands really cold. So having a coating on the outside it's kind of nice. But yeah, this is like inexpensive. It's made by a company called Nox, NOCS. And they have just some budget binoculars and monoculars that you could use for bird watching or whatever. Which is cool. I mean, I have to say, like, earlier this year, my old pair of binoculars just crapped out. Like, the eyes wouldn't focus together anymore, even using, like, a lot of binoculars have something where you can, you know, if your eyes don't focus the same, you can adjust one eye to focus, like, the other. And these just wouldn't, they wouldn't hold focus. So, I had to get a new pair, and I just went ahead and sprung for, like, a pretty fucking nice pair of binoculars. And it's one of those things where, like, once you get a nice pair, you would, like, I'm pretty sure if I tried to use these, I wouldn't like them. But if you've never used really nice binoculars and stuff, like, yeah, this would probably be a nice thing to carry along on your bike ride if you wanted to look at birds or animals or what the fuck ever. So, yeah.
Does it have a place I can put my titanium sport?
Maybe.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, cool little cheap binoculars.
Okay, so Rad Power Bikes has a new CEO. It's fourth in 3 years.
Dang.
And they filed for bankruptcy.
And hold on, wait, that's the second part of the news. But I just want to look, like, on Bicycle Retailer, it has this lady's picture. If I got called into a meeting with this lady, I would just go ahead and start packing my shit up.
Why?
She looks like Cruella de Vil. Like,
I don't think you should be judging women's looks and their ability to be a CEO same sentence.
The new CEO who has taken over during bankruptcy, this lady looks like she sips Pinot Noir and, like, flips a coin to figure out who gets laid off. Judging her looks versus making fun of the new CEO who took over.
I don't know. If it was some old white dude, would you?
I would make bad jokes about him, too.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Like, that's just, she's just unsettling.
I think she looks like a normal woman.
I was going to say, she looks pretty normal to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you're just used to looking at women that look like me, but, like, she looks like a pretty normal woman to me.
Does one of your exes look like this lady?
No.
It sounds like maybe.
Yeah, I don't think that's appropriate.
All right, Matt, lie down on the couch. Let's talk about what happened to you today.
I'm just saying this.
That looks like a lady who's stepping into a shitty situation hoping to make it better, if you ask me.
Okay, so in this, it
they
says...
They owe $8 million in tariffs.
Yeah, it's sick.
And this lady is brave enough to take the company on and be like, okay, let's ride the fucking lightning.
Brave enough? Or she's just like, I'm going to make some more money and then dip. Because she has no it's not like the government's going to be like, hey, you have to give me that money you made in salary for tariffs.
No, I think typically the way it works in these situations is it was really, really shitty. And you get someone to come in that can like maneuver the company through bankruptcy and all this kind of stuff, make a whole bunch of deals, try to, you know, I say use the term write off. That's not really the right term, but essentially they want to
negotiate their debt,
negotiate that all down as much as you possibly can. And you say, oh, look, here's all the stuff that we've done. And, you know, maybe this is now a viable company and definitely worth way less than it was before, but like maybe it's viable now. And they try to get someone that's excitable to come in and buy that.
I don't know. What are you going to do? Buy a bunch of batteries that need to be recalled?
I think they can get it to a point where, like, if you change enough stuff about the underlying company, you're not liable anymore for previous transgressions, essentially. So, like, it could be, granted, if you're going to keep the same name, you could, like, legally behind the scenes not be responsible for any of those batteries or any bikes and have the same name, probably. But if you, it would obviously be a bad look if you still call yourself Rad Power Bikes and you're not taking care of people's old stuff that's like catching on fire. That's, yeah, not a very good look. But what you could do is kind of rebrand, if you will, and you might be able to be okay. Yeah. But anyway, looking at the numbers, it's definitely not good. Not only $8 million in tariffs, but they have, I mean, it's just pretty wild that they used to do $130 million and now they're doing $64 million, but their assets are only $32 million. So definitely.
And liabilities of $72 million.
Yeah. Well, that's the even bigger elephant in the room is $73 million in liabilities. So yeah, not looking good for that company. I just wonder how many more, and Rad Power was like the bougie Chinese stuff. I mean, I'm not going to knock Rad Power that much because their product compared to this utter garbage, their stuff was passable. It's a bummer that they cut a few corners and also probably got caught up in all the hype of COVID and probably expanded manufacturing and made all kinds of other mistakes. What I'm getting at is, man, if Rad Power goes down, these other Chinese companies that are even worse, like how in the world, I just feel like they keep popping up and they go down like freaking whack-a-mole. It's absolutely ridiculous.
But is that also one of those things where Jimmy buys them from a catalog, makes some money, and then the company goes away before there's any liabilities and problems?
Well, 100%. I think all this stuff is very much on purpose. Get, you know, throw a bunch of money into marketing, make an e-bike brand that people get semi-excited about for a year or two, and, you know, be all over Amazon and have all kinds of YouTube ads and just go crazy and be on Temu, I don't know, all these other e-com places, get a whole bunch of people to buy them because they're like somehow a really good deal. And you cut a zillion corners, make shit super duper unsafe, flood the market with them, and then you fucking bail out. It's just, what's weird to me is how do you even make, assuming you don't have to support the product down the road, never have to do a single warranty, and if you burn people's houses down, you're just not there for anyone to come after you anymore. But even then, selling these bikes at the prices they do, how in the world did they even make money? Even in the short term, it just makes no sense to me.
I think that we underestimate how little they cost.
Yeah, I think that's probably a huge part of it, right? Because they're probably getting a, you know, your run-of-the-mill basic e-bike, the aluminum frame, that probably dead nuts is what, $100? And they're probably getting a battery made for $100 and then motor and controller for $100. So yeah, maybe they're making these bikes for truly $300 to $500 and you sell them for $1,000. And maybe, I don't know, just seems wild to me. It's just a real bummer. How in the world can we train consumers that this is a bad idea. Like, hey, this thing exists. You really, really don't need to buy this thing. And this is where I truly think that the safety part of it needs to be a bigger deal. And it has become a bigger deal. Look how many fires and everything were in New York. It's just ridiculous. I think those need to become way more stringent. I'm also a big proponent that all of these marketplace people that are just riding, they just want this shit flowing through. They don't give a crap about the product. So the Amazons in the world, the Temus of the world, all these marketplaces, they need to be held way more responsible for the products that they carry. They just have to. Not only from a safety standpoint, but just from a selling a shitty product standpoint and getting lit up by consumers.
Yeah, same for all the like electric cars that are catching on fire in garages.
Well, I don't think there's a whole lot of those.
I know, I'm just trolling.
I mean, there have been a few. I mean, GM had a few, well, quite a few bolts catch on fire. Those are the only ones I've really heard of in recent history.
I watched, it was a, I don't know, a video that I saw on YouTube where there was a fire in a garage with an electric car. They didn't ever say if it was the car that caught on fire first or something else in the garage. But the firefighters were like, I guess, you know, they've had to learn how to deal with electric car fires, and the car was on fire. They were basically just water jetting the garage with multiple hoses. Enough that they put a car-sized fireproof blanket around this vehicle and used a winch to pull the vehicle out of the garage with this blanket on it. And then they showed that whole thing, like the blanket and the car, being pulled onto a tow truck while it was still obviously on fire under the blanket, which was absolutely bonkers to me. Like, could that melt through the tow truck? I don't know. They never said in the video. It was like a news thing. You know, it was like a news clip that I saw on YouTube, and like they never showed what happened to it after they pulled it towards this tow truck while it was on fire still. And I just want to know what happened after that.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. And lithium battery fires are no fucking joke. They're really, really serious. At the same time, I have probably witnessed, I don't know, at least 20 cars fully on fire on the side of the road that are just full gas. It's not like it's completely uncommon or doesn't happen. Like, cars have caught fire for the longest time.
But they, like, finish burning relatively quickly compared to a lithium.
I don't know. I've seen some freaking massive fires on the side of the road. Tons of them, whether it's a semi-truck or whatever. I mean, lithium's nasty, and it's pretty damn difficult to put out. But it's not like this is a new thing. When you have that much energy in an area, whether it's gasoline or batteries, it's not good.
Well, and the thing they also, like what they cut to after they were dragging the car onto the tow truck and then stopped showing it, was the next thing they talked about was like the whole, anyone who was in contact with the smoke from that fire, like the, you know, they had like, these 10 firefighters are going to directly deal with the car. Those 10 firefighters basically had to strip down and put all of their gear into like decontamination bags. And then they were decontaminated, you know, because of the, I guess the gases and the residue from the battery fire.
Yeah. You definitely don't want to breathe it in, but like, you know, it's not like, this is not like radiation. It's not like you have to throw your clothes away because they're going to kill you a week later.
They said it was getting decontaminated, but I'm guessing.
I don't know.
Was safely disposed of.
I think
of.
It's news people wanting to say rowdy shit so people get scared. But I mean, definitely, without a doubt, do not ever breathe in a lithium battery smoke. It's ungodly bad for you, without a doubt. But anyway,
speaking of car stuff,
this all came from Rad Power bikes catching on fire. Anyway, so the end of that news story is Rad Power is officially in trouble, even though they were definitely in trouble a few weeks ago. It's just way more official now, essentially.
Well, speaking of things that were in trouble, on my way home today, There was a car masquerading as a submarine in the Arkansas River. So, yeah, I'm, like, driving, and I'm like, oh, man. And I've, like, got a good thing going. Ever since I almost hit that deer, I've been doing a different tactic for driving home, which is I set my cruise control, and I leave my driving foot on the brake, because then I'm, like, super deer ready. It's worked out great so far. I haven't seen any deer. It's preparation is the key to success. So, anyways, I'm cruising along, and I'm like, I mean, I drive this four times a week each direction. I know what I'm doing. What I'm saying is, like, no one needs to pass me on my way home from work. And I'm like, oh, shit, there's cop lights up there. So I slow way down. And then I come around the corner, and there's, like, the CDOT truck that you would normally see before they start painting the road or something. And there's just one dude standing there, and he looks really pissed off. And he's just holding a sign that says slow. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And then I round the next bend, and there's a fire truck, a couple of cops, another one of those slowdown trucks, two tow trucks, and everyone has all their spotlights pointed into the river. And I was like, Jesus Christ, why do I have to record a podcast tonight? I want to drive down the dirt road on the other side and just rubberneck.
We can go do that, like, as soon as we hit stop.
I'm pretty sure it's gone.
We'll do that tomorrow. How about that?
Okay. But, yeah. So don't drive your car in the river. It doesn't work.
Pedego. They have their electric trike breaks in half.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't Pedego, didn't they do the, like, elliptical that you can ride on the river?
No, I don't think so.
Was that a different company? Okay.
That was called Elliptigo.
Okay. I mean, I was close.
Was it really Elliptigo? It is. It's Elliptigo. I haven't seen those dudes in Salida in a long time.
There was a dude in Salida that rode all over the place on one of those things.
Yeah. Like straight up down the highway. And I'm like,
well, there is a bike lane on the highway.
That would be really fun. Elliptigo DH.
Dude, the bottom bracket height on that is no. So I'm pretty sure you would just get shit mixed over the bars.
No, I think you'd be fine. Just put frame sliders on that thing.
Dude, I'm looking at it right now.
It just needs a 32-inch front wheel.
First of all, your mom's a hoe. I am ultra excited about this. And I have on very good authority that we will see a major 32-inch wheeled bike next year.
Oh, Matt knows information he hasn't told the rest of us.
Yep.
It's not surprising. I mean, seems reasonable.
Yep.
All right, is that all of our new shit?
Yeah. Let's get to listener questions and then wrap this thing up. Oh, no, one more new thing.
We don't really have listener questions, so you can drag it out as much as you want.
Someone thought that maybe Fox was developing roll-off goggles, and then a pink bike person was like, dude, it's just these, and it's a moto company that makes electric roll-off goggles. And it, like, straight up, it just looks like they Sharpied over the logo on the, like, everything about it looks exactly like this Risk Racing Ripper. So if you ride in really muddy conditions and you want to be able to have auto roll-off goggles, then they make them.
Oh, so like you push a button on your bar and it makes your goggles roll a...
Advance your goggles, yes.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That could actually, like, for... I mean, lots of terrible muddy bike racing, that actually wouldn't be a bad thing to have because...
You would just have to wear goggles riding your bike.
I know, but like I've been in some awful like endurance racing where you just have mud slinging in your face for hours at a time. I don't know how long those would last, but
The battery lasts for 10 rolls. And
only do like a couple an hour.
What's really cool is apparently you can pair the controller to multiple goggles. So when you come into the pits and like your pit crew swaps your goggles for you, your controller is already paired. So, I think that's pretty dope. I don't need it, but I think it's dope. And you can pay in 3 installments with Shop Pay. So, there you go. Now let's get into this, the rest of it.
I was just looking through patron Slack to see if we had any recent questions, and you know, the people on patron Slack are really good at just kind of bullshitting and answering their own questions, so like I really appreciate that. But the only form entry we had was from Drew, suggesting that I try hockey goalie knee guards. Not the big outside ones, but the ones that go under those. And they're thin and lightweight, and they come in a lot of different sizes. So, yeah, maybe that'll work. I actually bought a new pair of waders today. I did something that I knew I shouldn't have done. And when I bought a pair of waders for trapping, I was like, I'm just going to get something that's not too expensive that will be warm and keep me dry. And turns out if you don't spend, you know, if you only spend $150 on a pair of neoprene waders, the DWR wears out almost immediately. And in any of the high stress areas, they'll just weep water onto your clothing underneath. And not only did I put holes in them, which I patched up. I mean, that's, I get it. Like anything that you walk through, like thorns and stuff, like you might put some holes in stuff and have to patch it. Like that's normal. These, they warranted them once already for me for the same sort of thing. But like just walking through like ice and stuff, put small holes in them big enough that like they leak there. I put marine sealant over those spots, and then they just started leaking in other places. So now, like, the crotch of my waders just leaks a little bit if I take, like, a big step up onto, like, the bank or over a rock or something, and it fucking sucks. So I just bought a new pair that's supposed to be, I actually emailed them. I'm like, hey, look, I can fuck up a crowbar. What should I get? And they told me to get these, and so I bought a new pair. And, yeah. But those waders have padding under the knees, so that's, I'm looking forward to that. But I still do need a new pair, and I will check out the hockey ones. Yeah, because the sizing is really, like, the big thing. Like, I don't need a ton of, like, padding there. I just need some cactus protection and some rock protection. But, yeah, I think that, I think that just something lightweight is going to work out well, and I'll definitely check these out. So thank you, Drew, for the suggestion.
All right.
Is that everybody just going to make it a short episode?
It's long enough.
That's what she said.
That's what I always tell them.
All right. Well, if you guys don't have anything else, I'm going to read patrons. So our patrons, starting at $10 per month, we've got Kurt, Timothy, Taylor, Zwift, Skunk in Your Trap, Jim the Fucked Up Trike Guy, Burt Reynolds Crusty Stash, Zozo Eric, Burt Reynolds Mustache, Taperbore Pro, My Pal Dal, MTV Shenanigans, Free Gabe Horn, Cam Irish One, Zach, Tennessee Zach, Green Giant, AJ, Leland, My Name is Clayton,
Fuck
Ride
you.
Time Extended, JC, Gordon, Josh, Fart Noises, Tom's P, Ryan, Bill, Aaron, Hung Dong Industries, now with 30% more risk of fire.
Hung Dong?
Hung Dong.
Hung Dong, okay. I'm familiar with Hung Dong, but not...
This is Hung Dong.
Hung Dong. Oh, that's the company... That's the company that gets created when Hong Dong goes out of business.
Exactly. Ty _ Noah, Cool Beans, Matt's Church Bell, Oliver Close Off, Frank the Tank, Goat Roper, Tom P, Butt Stuff, Them Kitty Cat Jelly Beans, at $11.11 per month, Epstein Island Bike Trails and Pizza Buffet, Patamelon Disco Ball at 14 Australian, Dean at 1650 Australian, Brian, at $20 a month, Brian, Scott, Joe, I Want a Mustache Ride from Burt Reynolds, Poop Wrench, And at $26.06 per month, a juggalo, a furry, and a road biker walk into a bar. Harley at 30.
We've got, and at 31, we have Troy, where did my storage unit door go in the wind, Laffy.
And six-pack outdoors were touched by the TISM, powered by Tylenol, at 50. I like how our patrons kind of play off of each other's names. Like, we've had I Want a Mustache Ride from Burt Reynolds for a while, and so, like, we have two different plays on Burt Reynolds now. So, I don't know if, like, if our patron who's I Want a Mustache Ride from Burt Reynolds changes their name, are the other people going to change their name also? Like, our patrons are pretty, they're pretty witty, so.
Yep.
All right, well, if you guys don't have anything else, that's it. A little bit of a short episode, but I'm all right with that.
Shut it down.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Thank you all for listening, and good night.